Hi there, welcome to this week's episode of podcast with me, Russell Davis. I talk a lot about Project You versus Project Baby, but what does that really mean? What is Project You? What does Project You look like for you? And how can taking your focus off Project Baby actually help you have the baby you want? Well, let's dive in and find out. If you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe so you get automatic updates of future episodes, including bonus meditations every now and then. And if you leave a review, that helps others find the podcast and share the love. Loving you. Once again, I'm outside enjoying the connection to nature. I think this fertility journey in many ways is a journey back to our true self. I talk a lot about Project You versus Project Baby. I say the more you focus on Project You, Project Baby takes more care of itself, whether that's with treatment or naturally. I just want to expand a little bit on what I mean by that. And my wife and I had a 10-year journey of infertility. My wife was diagnosed with PCOS as a teenager and was just put on medication on the pill just to manage the symptoms. And as the years went by, she got put on stronger and stronger drugs. When we got married, she just questioned whether there was something else she could be doing for her health and well-being, and just wasn't happy with just being more and more stronger drugs. We met a gynecologist who crossed the bridge between Eastern and Western medicine, and he believed that there was no reason why she couldn't have a full natural cycle, and she may even be misdiagnosed. I know PCOS is a very highly complex condition that is often misdiagnosed at a young age. And cut a long story short, with her, it was a long journey, both physically and emotionally. Psychologically, she did a lot of healing. And it thinks, the gynecologist, and she can really see that it was her psychological experience, the trauma from childhood, that impacted her cycle. That gave the symptoms of PCOS, but actually, it wasn't. So she could really see that focusing on Project Her helped Project Baby. And then after about a year of trying naturally, this is 8 years into our journey, you know, I think great, and we've got to the stage where, wow, there's no reason we can't have a baby, and it just, all the years of trying to convince ourselves we were okay with it just went out the window, and we just realised there's nothing more in the world we want as to be parents, and parents of our own children, and we were heavily involved in children's work and youth work, and my wife used to work at a boarding school, parenting a house full of teenage girls, and it's like she's just meant to be a parent. And then we found out I had fertility problems at this point. No one ever suggested I had a test. It's like wasn't on the radar. It's like the whole focus was my wife, and I think that can show how female-centric this industry can be. And even after my diagnosis, I didn't get to see an andrologist, a doctor of male fertility. Not many men do. We tend to get referred to a fertility clinic and speak to a gynecologist. But I tried everything I could to try and improve my fertility. I was focused on Project Baby. I was committed to it. I looked at my lifestyle. I took herbs, did acupuncture, took supplements, kept my mobile phone in my pocket, even wore baggy pants, for you Americans, that's baggy underwear. Everything for a number of months. And didn't make any difference. At that point, I lost all hope, thinking, okay, there's nothing we can do about this. were in the hands of the clinic, and ICSI was looking at our only option, and they were looking at where that was an option for us, given my test results, and we were heading towards ICSI. But it sent me into a psychological tailspin. I hadn't realised up to that point I'd been living my life what I call outside in. I'll be happy when, I'll be happy if. Whether it's I'll be happy when mum's happy with me, I'll be happy when my teacher's happy with me, got good exam results, got a good career. And I've been ticking them off unconsciously one by one, creating this life I thought would make me feel happy and secure. And the next thing was having a baby, having a family. And it looked like it wasn't going to happen. Even with ICSI, the chances are very, very slim. And life was challenging at that point. As we know, this fertility roller coaster is like hell on earth in so many ways. And I was scared of my emotions. My wife started going through a grieving process, but I'd say I was angry, but didn't feel angry, and it really highlighted how I had a distant relationship with my emotions, and not just infertility, in life as a whole. Even before that, as soon as my wife kind of met me, she kind of highlighted that I lived in my head a lot and was quite distant, and I never really kind of acknowledged that. I guess brushed it under the carpet, thinking, let's move on, because it felt too difficult. And I think this fertility journey is an amplifier. It amplifies stuff that was in our life even beforehand. And for me, it was amplifying this living in my head, living in fear almost, a worrier. And it helped me wake up to the truth that I wasn't really happy in life. I was happy but wasn't content. Didn't feel safe, didn't feel secure. I didn't feel I could relax into life and enjoy life. Even though there's no reason why I couldn't. With our health, our happiness, we had well-paid jobs, and okay, we didn't have a baby. But it wasn't really about the baby, because I realised all my life I've been waiting for the next chapter, the next phase that I thought would give me this sense of peace and freedom and happiness. So this sent me down this whole psychological journey. It started with going on a silent retreat. Never done anything like that in my life. My wife thought I was mad. I didn't know how I could cope or survive being on a silent retreat. But I talk about how my clients tune into an inner sense of kind of their instinct, their wisdom, their intuition, their soul. I've never heard it so clearly. Waking up one morning, I have to do this. I have to go on a silent retreat with no input, just be. And all my kind of coping mechanisms, my distractions, whether it's the internet, work, a busy life, had to be stripped away so I could just be left with me and just stop running and hiding from feelings. And it was a profound experience. And it started my whole, what I call Project U experience, what I called that back then. But working with clients for the last 15 years, I can really see the trends, the patterns, and really fast track people through the journey almost I went through. And I can see my clients go through. Because what I learned was that I didn't feel loved. I knew I was loved. Of course, I knew my family and friends, my wife loved me. But deep down, I was scared of the loss of love. I didn't feel enough. I was a people pleaser because I thought people wouldn't like me for who I was. I had to demonstrate my worth, my value in some way. Prove that I was worth being their friend or trusting them or having trust from them or them respecting me as a colleague. And that was really painful. To recognise I didn't feel loved. To feel that pain, that fear, that loss, that sadness of not really being wanted. Of course, my parents wanted me, but actually I wasn't planned, I wasn't really wanted initially. And actually grew up, that's what I felt quite a lot. Because they had their stuff, their issues. So I was ignored a lot. And even though we're no longer those kids in those situations, the thought habits, the beliefs about ourselves and life we pick up then become thought habits. Because we create coping mechanisms to counteract that, to survive those, to feel okay, to feel enough. And mine was trying to prove my worth. and unconsciously they continue into adulthood, even though logically and consciously we know we don't need them. And I think most of my clients have a flavour of not enoughness in some way, or not worthy, or fear of failure, or not being good enough, or some kind of deeper psychological limiting thought or belief that's not actually about fertility. And they can begin to see, yeah, that shows up in other areas of their life. And maybe in other areas of life they have more coping mechanisms, or they use the fear that generates to strive themselves forward to create those circumstances they think they need to get the promotion, to get the success. Because that approach doesn't work for fertility. I don't really believe in the other areas of our life either. I think we can create that success with far greater ease and well-being without the fear and striving. I believe we can create even bigger success without the fear and striving. So for me, Project U is about knowing you're okay, knowing you're complete. It's about, on one hand, having the goal, the aspiration, wherever that may be, whether it is the career or the baby. But on the other hand, knowing we're okay and we're complete, which means we can hold the goal more lightly. It takes the pressure off the whole process. It knows we're enough. You know, they say it's not the destination, it's the journey. Well, it becomes the journey when we know we're enough and we can just savour and enjoy being while we're continuing to create. We're powerful creators. We can't not create. We're always creating, whether we know it or not. And often we're creating this not enoughness, this lack mentality and this lack experience without knowing why. So I grew up thinking life worked outside in. I'm okay if, I'm okay when. But it only works one way, inside out. We're creating our experience from the inside out. Every psychological experience we have comes from our thoughts, our beliefs, the stories, the perception we live through. Yeah, and that can impact our body. Because that can put tension into our body, which is not good for getting pregnant or maintaining a pregnancy. The mind and body are really powerful in one system. And this is why I say focus on Project U, and Project Baby takes more care of itself. And when you take time out to focus on Project U, you can actually rewind the clock. But one of the things about not being enough and not being loved is one of the things I find is clients are very scared to spend money on themselves. It's fear of not enough. Or it feels frivolous. Or they don't feel worthy. They're not used to spending money on themselves. So it feels very uncomfortable to invest in themselves in a way that helps themselves. I was the same. Absolutely the same. I spent tens of thousands of pounds on my own development over the years. And I know that, and I can see that the investment in ourselves is the best investment we can make. So whatever that investment in Project U is, whether it is investing in working with someone, or just taking some time out, or just maybe looking at what you're doing out of fear, maybe stopping it and taking more time just to be and smell the roses and enjoy life. A glass of wine is not going to stop you getting pregnant. I was going to finish with a story on my retreat. I stayed actually in a convent. It was a long story short, I ended up in this convent, and I'm really glad I did, because it was an amazing experience with this group of mainly elderly, as you expect, kind of eccentric nuns. It was just wonderful. And they just left me to do my thing, but were there, provided my meals and a place to sleep, and in beautiful grounds. And it was spring. And there were lots of rabbits in the gardens, and lots of baby rabbits as well. And I spent hours just sitting in the gardens watching nature and these rabbits. And these nuns had quite a few cats. And I was sitting one day just in the garden, and this nun came up to me with a little bundle of fur, and she said one of the cats had caught this baby rabbit and she didn't know what to do with it, so could I deal with it? And she handed me a little bundle of fur. my initial reaction was annoyance, thinking, well, you're disturbing. I'm supposed to be on retreat and just being, and what's supposed to do with this? But I looked at this little rabbit. It was still alive. It was clearly in distress. There was no external visual kind of damage, injuries, but they may obviously felt like they were a little internal because it was panting and wasn't moving, and it just looked like it wasn't going to make it. Not that I'm a vet, but I just looked at this little rabbit and I started to cry. And now I was putting human emotions into an animal, but I was sad that this rabbit might die alone, thinking it wasn't loved. Because I soon realised I wasn't crying for the rabbit, I was crying for me. And I started sobbing. Because I realised I didn't feel loved. I didn't feel worthy. I want you to know you are loved. You are worthy for who you are. We're all equal in this life. We're all diamonds, precious, strong, unique. Sometimes life throws mud at our diamonds and we lose sight of who we really are. And life circumstances uses it to prove we're the mud. Other people are diamonds, we're mud. It's just not true. It's just not true. It may feel like it, and it will feel like it. We're human. We're not our feelings, we're not our thoughts. We're the space below that. We're the part of us that is aware of our thoughts and feelings. We're this soul that's beyond our human experience. We're the space in those moments of quiet that knows we're okay. That's who you really are. For me, Project You is reconnecting you to that and begin to live life in that space. I spent my whole life trying to find the feeling of home, thinking life was this maze and trying to get into the middle, trying to find the way. Is it this way? Is it that way? Is it the degree? Is it the career? Is it the family? Not realising we are home. I am home. I'm in the middle looking out. I just didn't think I was. You are home. You're exactly where you need to be. And this energy of life has got your back. You are home. Loving you.